If the Defense Department is getting financial savings from its contracted workforce, it either doesn't know or just isn't reporting it. Nor has the department developed a plan for getting more efficiency out of its staff. A lot of work yet to be done. Brenda Farrell is Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. She talked with Tom Temin about GAO's latest work on civilian workforce costs.
And Brenda, this one concerns something that they're required to do under a few years ago, Defense Authorization Act.
Yes, that's correct. And let's go back a few years to 2012, when DOD proposed in its fiscal year 2013 budget a 5% reduction in military in strength over a five-year period. Congress decided that there needed to be a balance among DOD's workforces, the military, the civilians, the contracted services. So that's how this particular mandate resulted. Congress came in and requires DOD to achieve savings in total funding for their civilians and their contract services workforces from fiscal years 2012 through fiscal year 2017 that are not less as a percentage of the funding for basic military pay achieved from reductions in the military in strength over the same time period. This is a mandate about money, and that's the bottom line there.
So, in other words, as they reduce their own native workforce, both uniformed and civilian, they have to reduce the contracted workforce costs by some proportional amount?
Yes, that's correct. It's to try to get all three workforces in line. The in-strength reduction came about because the operations in Iraq were over at that time, and the drawdown in Afghanistan was well underway. So the DOD recognized the military was needing to draw down, and Congress thought, well, let's make sure that it's balanced out with the other workforces.
I guess maybe this is not part of the GAO mandate, but does it necessarily make sense that the two should go down or up or either way in tandem?
Well, we believe in strategic workforce planning, and we've been on record before about be careful if you have across the board reductions. Congress did allow some leeway with these reductions. For example, they allowed DOD to exclude certain portions of the workforce that they deemed critical. And DOD did that. Of 776,000 civilian FTEs that are part of DOD, they excluded 538,000 FTEs as deeming them not to be a part of this reduction. One of our concerns, though, was describing how did they make that selection to determine that portion was critical and should not be a part of this.
Now, it looks like from your report there are certain things, technical things or reporting regimes that DOD needs to do that it wasn't doing pursuant to proving the cost savings.
Yes. Like I said in the beginning, this is a report about money, trying to achieve actual funding savings. And DOD reported more in terms of cost in their last report compared to the first one that we looked at. As I noted, this is a reoccurring mandate that goes through fiscal year 2017. So they did report more in terms of actual military in strength and civilian FTEs for each year, and they did report quite a bit on the contractor cost, but they did not include cost savings data for the military and the civilian workforces. They included FTEs, as I noted, but not the actual cost for each year. DOD has a position that they interpret the statute differently from how we interpret it. They interpret the law as requiring them only to report the savings achieved when comparing the cost from fiscal year 2012 to fiscal year 2017. Whereas when we look at the law, we think it's quite clear. This is the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2013. It's in Section 955, and it's very specific about having DOD provide a report describing implementation of the efficiency plan during the prior fiscal year. And it specifically states that, and I'll quote, each report shall include a summary of the savings achieved in such prior year through reductions in the military, civilian, and service contractor personnel workforces. So we are at a have a difference of opinion between DOD and GAO about what the law actually requires.
We're speaking with Brenda Farrell, Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. I would think, though, that since GAO is an arm of Congress, that what you interpret as the law would be the one that should prevail. I mean, how does this get resolved?
Well, as I said, this is the second time we've looked at their reports to Congress. We thought we were in agreement after we reviewed their report the first time, and we issued ours in December 2015. There was quite a bit of discussion about the law, what the requirements are, and we thought we had an understanding, and we made a number of recommendations in that December 2015 report that were really designed for them to make sure that they met the mandate of what exactly the law required. DOD concurred with those recommendations. This time around, we have a different story. We do not make any new recommendations in this report. We point out some actions that they have taken to try to meet the mandate, but they're still not there yet, especially with this cost actually being achieved. And it's important to have the cost for each year. What's the plan for each year leading up to fiscal year 2017 so the DOD knows that it's on track and it can make adjustments when necessary. However, this time, DOD's position, which is reflected in our report that your viewers can find on our website, their position is that they've already implemented these recommendations. We, again, have a difference of opinion here. We're not quite sure why they've taken this particular position.
So they have the tools and methodologies and knowledge to comply. They just have a different way that they view the whole thing that they're supposed to do.
Well, and there are several pieces of this mandate, and in some cases it might be more difficult for them to comply. But it is important to have the cost of the civilian workforce, not just the FTEs that they report year by year, because we have seen cases where FTEs go down but costs go up. And it's important that you can plan ahead and make sure that you do have the funds available for your workforce.
So where do we go from here?
Well, they'll get another try. hopefully with their budget submission next time, they'll be able to explain what their approach has been to meet these reductions and provide the data so that Congress can determine if they're on track to meet the intent.
Do we know yet from what they have reported whether they are actually achieving savings year to year in the cost of the workforce?
Well, we can tell that they were achieving some savings for the contractor workforce, but they acknowledge by the time they get to 2017, they will not meet the statutory requirement for the percentage reduction that is mandated. They say for that particular workforce, there'll be an increase due to equipment maintenance. However, they do not discuss what actions they plan to take to try to keep this under control and reduce it so that they can meet the mandate.
And what is the status of that plan at all?
Well, in the mandate from Congress to DOD, one of the requirements was an efficiency plan to show how they'd actually go about achieving this reduction that, again, is for the long term. DOD, in our opinion, has not provided such a plan. They do reference that they have these reductions they want to achieve per Congress's direction. They do reference workforce management laws that they have to be attuned and make sure that they are consistent with. But there's not actually a plan that shows how they're going to achieve these reductions. And we still think that that is something that they need to focus on, of what is their approach.